Welcome to Writers on Writing. I'm your host, Barbara DeMarco Baird, and I'm usually here every Wednesday evening from 6:30 to 7 with authors, editors, agents, poets, those connected with the art or business of writing. Tonight my guest is Naomi Eppel, author of The Observation Deck, a toolkit for writers. Naomi has interviewed authors for Book Talk on KALW Radio in San Francisco, Cover to Cover on KPFA, and for Dream Talk on KALX. She's a notorious Bay Area literary escort and has even interviewed writers in her red convertible. She's the author of Writers Dreaming, Conversations with 27 Contemporary Novelists about their dreams and the creative process. Eppel speaks nationally and leads workshops that help people find their own inspiration, motivation, and effective writing techniques. She's appeared on many national shows, including National Public Radio's All Things Considered, Lisa, and The Tom Snyder Show, as well as on ETV. We are going to talk about The Observation Deck, a toolkit for writers, tonight mostly, and we'll talk about writers dreaming. Welcome, Naomi.
Hi.
It's great to have you
Thank
here.
Thank you.
Talk a bit about the Observation Deck and how that came to be.
Well, the Observation Deck is a deck of cards designed to help writers find what it is they need to do each day when you're feeling stuck or when you're looking for inspiration. And it came about because of my work as a literary escort. I take care of writers in San Francisco and drive them to their interviews and drive them to bookstores. And I also have a radio show in San Francisco. But both of these places I use as the way to find out how they do it, because I've always wanted to be artistic. I didn't know in what way. But the questions that I would ask these writers when I had them in the studio or had them in the car was, where do you find your inspiration? How do you stay motivated? What do you do to discipline yourself? And what do you pay attention to so that your writing is rich? And I've been scribbling notes and tape recording interviews and transcribing them and filing them and pushing them around till I came up with, well, I narrowed it down for the deck to 50 strategies. And the idea of the deck is you're feeling stuck. Mm-hmm. You pull a card, one card, only one card. If that card is your card for the day, and you may pull the card and know exactly what to do, or you may want to go to the book that I've written, you know, which took me several years to write, which gives specific concrete examples from anyone from Kurt Vonnegut to Maya Angelou to Stephen King. Mm-hmm. Everyone talking about how they do it.
It's a beautiful presentation. For those of you listening who perhaps haven't seen this, the Observation Deck is a toolkit for writers. It comes in a box, and there's a book in the box and a deck of cards in the box with words on them. How did this design come about? Was this part of your idea when you came up with it?
Yeah, the original concept, I'd written this book, Writers Dreaming, and in which I interviewed novelists about their dreams and nightmares and how they use them in their work. And the publisher, Random House, wanted me to do a companion book that would be like a dream journal. Well, I didn't want to do just a dream journal. I wanted to do a journal that anyone could use to leave a legacy for the future about who they were. So I thought, I don't really want to make a blank book that people will write in, you know, with little hints, because I hate to write in books. It feels like defiling to do that. And I'm a really messy writer. And I figure most people write really bad stuff before they write anything good. So I didn't want to make a book that you would mess up or not use, given as a gift, but you never use it. So I thought, well, how am I going to give people hints as to what to do today without having it in the book? And I thought, I came up with a lot of ideas, but the cards was the idea. So you pull a card, and that tells you what to do. And then I synthesized the idea of what all these famous writers had told me, so that instead of saying, you should do this, you should do that, meaning write about your childhood, write about your mother, instead it would say, change your point of view, or do the opposite, flip it over, or take a walk. And then within the chapter, lots of examples of how that will help you write about yourself or write about whatever it is you want to write about, whether it's a novel, a nonfiction piece, a dissertation, whatever it is that you need or want to write about. Mm-hmm. It's a way of getting yourself focused each day. And I study hypnosis for many years, and I know that what's great about hypnosis is that someone else tells you what to do, and it frees you up so that your unconscious mm-hmm. mind can work. So the deck, the cards in the observation deck, work on an unconscious level, and they speak directly to you, and then you, your unconscious mind tells you how you're going to use that card.
Let's pick a card.
All right, we have to shuffle first.
Okay, let's shuffle.
The idea of shuffling is really inspired by Maya Angelou, who, when I interviewed her for Writer's Dreaming, told me that the way she hypnotizes herself into remembering the past so she can write books like I Know Why the Cage Bird Sings, is she'll go into a hotel room with a deck of cards, a Bible, and a dictionary and a thesaurus. And the deck of cards is for playing solitaire. So the shuffling feels very good. Okay, so we've shuffled twice, and we'll do a little the other kind. And now let's pull. Squint.
Squint. I love that one. Actually, I wrote down, I like squinting, in which you talk also, it's a chapter in the book as well, in which you talk about looking through a mirror.
Yes.
And writing about what you see or how things appear.
Yeah. The idea of the chapter squint came from Sue Bender, who wrote a book called Plain and Simple. And Sue Bender was trying to learn how to draw. And so she decided she was going to draw a pear. And she spent months trying to draw a perfect pear, and it just wasn't happening until she talked to a friend of hers who was an artist, and she said, Sue, you're looking at the pear too hard. Squint. Don't look so hard. And so I thought that was fabulous, and I was at the ocean one day, and I couldn't get relaxed and see the beauty of it. It just looked like a goddamn photograph of the ocean, and I didn't care, and I really wanted to enjoy it. So I said, okay, I'm going to squint. And when I did that, suddenly the whole world began to look different. Mm. I could see the verticals and the horizontals and the shadows and the glints of light, and the world became very magical. So I recommend looking softly at mm-hmm. the world, or in the variations I talk about taking a mirror and looking at the world through a mirror, or taking like a toilet paper roll mm-hmm. or a paper towel roll mm-hmm. and looking at the world through a frame. Anything to make the world look different and to shift it out of the ordinary. That's the whole idea of the deck, is to shift, to kind of get you stoned without having to take any drugs.
Mm-hmm. Who is the kit for?
The kit is for anyone who wants to be more creative. It's specifically aimed at people who want to write or who do write, and it's used both by people who are just beginning to write and by very successful writers. Sue Grafton says whenever she's feeling stuck, she pulls a card from the deck.
Sue Grafton feeling stuck.
Well, she said, you know, they actually, in her quote, they That's said, great. They actually cut it down, but she said that she often gets stuck. And I got a call from Melody Irmachild Chavis, who wrote Altars in the Street the other day, and she said that she works in a writing group, even though she's a very successful writer, and she didn't know what to do in the group, so she pulled the card, Follow the Scent. Hmm. And she's a former private investigator who was writing about the death row in San Quentin, and she just didn't know what to say. So she pulled Follow the Scent, and she began to think about the smells mm. at San Quentin in the waiting room, mm. the smell of the rotting linoleum and the bleach that stinks off the linoleum, the smell of the rancid butter substitute that they put on the popcorn, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and it made her writing come alive. So it's for anyone who either wants to begin or just to get themselves moving, mm-hmm. to pop out of the ordinary mm-hmm. thinking.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Writers on Writing. I'm Barbara DeMarco Barrett, and I'm talking with Naomi Epple about the observation deck. You interviewed a ton of writers for this book, Robert Olin Butler, Kurt Vonnegut, Jane Smiley. How do you get people to talk about things that they might be reluctant to disclose, or they might be publicity shy?
Well, I usually have a question that takes them out of the ordinary. With Writer's Dreaming was where I really learned how to get people to talk, because I asked them about something that they wouldn't normally be asked about. which is their dreams. And that's a very scary thing. Most of them didn't want to talk about their dreams at first. But I asked them about dreams that had influenced their work. So it was very safe. And often they'd say, well, I never remember any dreams. So I'd say, well, what about a childhood dreams? Most people have dreams about flying or falling or being lost or, and went through the list. And then, boom, things start to pop. And once I got them talking about that, things began to fly. Now, with Observation Deck, I had established rapport with people. I knew them, most of them, or I knew their work, and I had already established a credential for myself. But I asked them to help me. I asked them, I said, I'm writing a book about the tricks that writers use. And I gave them some freebies. I would refer to other famous writers that I had gotten tricks from, and they would then want to one-up whatever I had told them. But once that rapport was established and we were having fun together, they would tell me all sorts of things. I mean, in Writer's Dreaming, I got people's sexual fantasies, and all you give out, I have to call them up and say, are you sure you want this published? But I have a whole chapter. There's a card in the deck called Conduct an Interview, where I talk about the tricks that I learned for interviewing as a private investigator and as a market researcher. Mm-hmm. And there's very specific tricks. And I'll give you one of them right now, which is a hard one to use on the radio because people go up into their heads and you have a lot of dead air. Mm-hmm. But the question that I learned as a market researcher was, what else? Hmm. Because people often give you a very glib answer the first time. They give you the answer they've given before. But if you say, what else? Three times, what else? They go deeper and deeper, and then they pull up the gems. So I have a whole riff in there also about repeating the last word that someone said. These are really important techniques for getting someone to open up. But I don't know how I'm going to use it on my next radio show because of that dead air issue.
Mm-hmm. Right. Someone starts thinking.
Yeah, but it's really important to get good stuff is that they've got to be thinking.
Mm-hmm. In doing this project, did you find out anything that surprised you in terms of, you know, very successful writers, problems they have, difficulties they have?
Well, I think one of the more surprising strategies that a lot of people told me they used, which shocked me, was eavesdrop. A lot of writers eavesdrop. I didn't know that. I thought you're not supposed to eavesdrop. But almost all of them said they did. I think it was not surprising to me, having spent the last 10 years working with writers, to know that most of them write a lot of garbage before they write anything good. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I gathered over the last few years interviewing authors is the concept of writing as a gift. Rather than, I think what stopped me for so many years was thinking that I had to prove myself, that I was writing to be great, to show off, to make an impression. And when I stopped thinking about writing to prove myself and started thinking about writing as a gift, that I'm leaving something for someone else, it made all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. There's a card in the deck called Write a Letter, which has been the most helpful card to me, which is something I learned from John Steinbeck through doing research. Not everything in the book is from live interviews. Some of it's like research. Mm-hmm. But he would start every writing day, instead of facing a blank page, writing a letter to someone he loved, talking about what was going on in his life. He called it warming up his writing arm to pitch a good game. And I think that's a very useful thing. And he also constructed East of Eden. He began writing it as a letter to his sons, to tell them about the world that he came from in Salinas. So rather than writing for the public, which can be harsh, he wrote for his boys. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's one of the most useful things that anyone who wants to write or create in any way is to think about giving a gift. Mm-hmm. And it may be a gift to yourself if you're a journaler, like I am. Most of my writing is really for me, so I can figure out what my life is about and what I'm thinking. So I write a lot to give a gift to myself, and nobody ever, God forbid, anyone should read my journals. But it's a gift.
Mm-hmm. What was the most fun aspect of doing this book?
The publicity tour. I love
She's
publicity.
She's a publicity
tour.
Hound here.
Actually, interviewing people. I love I love talking to people. I love asking questions. It was hard. The writing was hard, really hard, you know, to make things clear, to but asking the questions was the fun part.
There's another one, another chapter I like a lot, which is open a drawer.
Yes.
Where you talk about pulling open a drawer, or I guess sticking your hand in a pocket, and whatever you pull out, you write about.
Yes, that's the card that I use when I do workshops as the opening card, where we just have a bunch of junk, and each person pulls one object, and then you can write about it in any way that works for you. If you're working on a novel, you might say, "Oh, how am I going to fit this soap dish in a scene with my two characters?" Or what is a soap dish? How is my character like a soap dish? How am I like a soap dish? Mm-hmm. Who did the soap dish belong to before me? You know, you pick one thing and you can just riff on it.
Mm-hmm.
It can be very rich. Or what's in someone's pockets? That's a very useful variation on the open a drawer. Imagine what's in your character's pockets. One of my people in one of my writing groups was writing a book about gambling in Las Vegas, and she pulled that card, and she thought, well, what would be in the pockets of a successful gambler? And she began to see that he'd have a money clip, and he'd have other money that he never spends. And she wrote a whole thing about how to make money in Las Vegas by thinking about what was in someone's pockets.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The title, The Observation Deck, A Toolkit for Writers, was that the original title?
No, the original title was Creative Openings, and each card was to be seen as an opening, like a doorway. But one of the cards in the deck is called Breathe, and I am not a meditator. I do not like to sit still for more than 3 minutes, but I had pulled the Breathe card. You know, I made up 3x5 cards for myself as I was working on the book. I had to test my own thing, so I had to breathe. So I sat down on my bed, cross-legged. I said, you only have to breathe for 5 minutes. It's okay. And I closed my eyes, and I breathed. And as I did that, the words, the observation deck, came floating up into my mind, and I knew that was the title.
That's great.
And it's interesting because it's a deck, so the observation deck. But also, I think of it as, and it's also about observing, about opening your senses, and what do you, how do you look at things. But it's also like getting up on the Eiffel Tower or at the top of the Empire State Building and seeing the world from different perspectives, because it's very much about changing your angle of vision so you can go deeper or broader, see context. So it's got a lot of meanings.
It's a wonderful title.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's great. If you've just tuned in and you're on the freeway, don't touch the dial. You're listening to Writers on Writing on KUCI 88.9. I'm talking to Naomi Eppel, and we're talking about the observation deck. Did your agent have any trouble selling this book because it was another writer's book?
Not really. My first agent, I had a very powerful, very mean agent for my first book, and she thought this was the stupidest idea in the world, and let me know that on no uncertain terms, that I had no qualifications to write a writing book, even though I spend 60 hours a week with famous writers talking to them and listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't like it. And I had met another agent at a writer's conference who thought it was the coolest idea in the world, and she loved it. And we knew we wanted it to go with Chronicle Books because they are the most fabulous packagers in the world. So we set, and secondarily, there was Harper San Francisco, who are good friends of mine, but they were having a hard time at the time with the home office, as it were. And I really wanted to be with Chronicle, so we decided we would have an auction. And the night before the auction, we didn't know if anyone was going to come. We set a floor. And the night before the auction was supposed to be, Harper San Francisco sent her a note offering me less money than the floor and less money than the floor. And they didn't want the cards. They just wanted the book. And she was excited. Yes, we've got an offer. We've got an offer. And we were at the Magic Castle in Los Angeles because her husband's a magician. And I went into the bathroom and I called my mother and I called my sister and I said, I'm going to turn down this deal because if they won't pay what I think this is worth, it's not worth it. I will do another project if they can't come up to my amount because if they just think it's a little book, it's, you know,
yeah,
forget it. And I remember standing in that bathroom at the telephone, calling and being very strong. I'm not going to take this money. I don't care. They don't understand the idea, and it's not worth it. So, and it wasn't a big floor. It was a small floor, but it was a floor. And then the next day, I was at the Museum of Modern Art in the L.A. County Museum in L.A., and I called in to check my messages, and I got word that Chronicle had come, and they had met my minimum. And I was, like, dancing around. and that was all I wanted. I just wanted to know that somebody believed in the project right. enough. And it was a unique packaging idea. So I don't think Chronicle even cared about the content. They mm-hmm. were, like, shocked that I had such good information mm-hmm. in there. I mean, they're really excited about it now because it's rich as opposed to just beautiful, which, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a perfect gift. It's mm-hmm. gorgeous. It's, you know, it's like you stick it in a stocking and it's perfect. And it's cheap, you know, but because that's one thing Chronicle does. Mm-hmm. They are so good with pricing.
That's right.
You know, for $19.95, you get this gorgeous box with cards, blah, blah, blah. You know, but they, it was just like I had to do what was really important to me, and I was willing to let it go mm-hmm. and find something else to do, because all I want to do is ask interesting people questions. And I had, you know.
So this that happened with your first agent, is that what caused you to then go and find another agent who could get behind the project?
Yeah, I wasn't willing to go with someone who didn't respect mm-hmm. me, who would say, who are you to write a book about mm-hmm. writing?
So any insights about agents that you'd like to offer the listeners here?
You know, I mean, this first agent got me a lot of money for my first book, so God bless her. You know, she was great. She's a shark, and she's brilliant, and God mm-hmm. bless her. But don't, you know, I talked to another author who was represented by her, and she said, one day I realized I was in an abusive relationship, and I'm not the kind of person who should be in an abusive relationship, so I got out. And that's how I felt. I don't want someone to say, I'm too busy to talk to you because it's, you know, I'm dripping wet from my swimming pool. Mm-hmm. Forget it. So my advice is, if you're looking for an agent for the first time, look in the acknowledgments of books that you love and see who they thank. Mm-hmm. That's how you find an agent who'd be right for you, is look for someone who has your aesthetic and then write them a beautiful, beautiful letter. Short, but you've got to write a really great letter. Or go to writer's conferences. Mm-hmm. You know, I met Betsy Amster, my agent, at a writer's mm-hmm. conference. Now, I happened to be a speaker at the writer's conference, and I could not go to her until I left the other agent.
Right. That's a whole protocol issue.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before we run out of time, I want to remember for you to give your website address.
Oh, yeah, please. I have a website at www.observationdeck.com. And if people are interested in getting together with other writers to form writing groups, you can contact me at the website. You can see the guidelines for starting a group if you want to get a couple other friends together mm-hmm. to do it. You can see some samples from the book. You can order the book or get it at your favorite bookstore. But it's a very simple website, but I want people to be able to connect with mm-hmm. each other, because I believe, for me, I like other people around me. Mm-hmm. For writing. It's so much more fun.
Give the address one more time.
www.observationdeck.com.
I want to just mention this other book real quick, because I like it very much, Writer's Dreaming. And how do dreams figure in your work?
Well, I pay attention to my dreams. I write them down. I had a dream that actually helped me to become a writer, which is probably too long to tell, but it's in the introduction to Writer's Dreaming, mm-hmm. which you can also purchase, if it's not in your local bookstore, through the observationdeck.com. So that dream made me a writer. It told me that I could stop trying so hard to impress people and just do what I normally do, which is ask people questions, and that was enough. So that was a very important dream. But mostly what writing down dreams for me has been is it's practice in trying to capture the ineffable. What's really difficult to write is, you know, he was two-headed, but he was actually a girl, and I, you know, and I had one foot like a dog. I mean, yeah, it's good practice, and it's so much fun. I just love dreams, but certainly my first book came because of a dream.
Are you doing any signings in the L.A. area?
No, I'm just leaving town, but mm-hmm. I was in Del Mar last mm-hmm. night doing a workshop at Esmeralda Books, and they're going to start a deck group there. if anyone can hear us all the way down in Del Mar.
Sometimes, especially on the computer now.
Right.
Where you can tune in to www.kuci.org and go to What's Playing Now. Naomi, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Flies when we're having fun here. I wish you luck on your book.
And I wish you luck in your book.
Thank
Congratulations.
You. Thank you. I'm Barbara DeMarco Barrett at KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Next week, my guest will be Lisa C., author of Flowernet. The music at the beginning of the show and at the end is Blues and Jazz by Brian Barrett. If you have any comments about Writers on Writing, email me at bdemarcob@aol.com. Next is Chris with On Air, Off Air. Thanks for listening and get to work. And remember, it's all about writing like there's no tomorrow.